Hello, everybody. Welcome to Talking Europe. Great power politics is back, might is right, and multilateralism is in retreat. At least that's the glum view of the world that a lot of progressives share these days. But the EU wants to show that the old liberal multilateral approach is still very much alive, especially when it comes to European engagement with Africa through programs such as the EU Global Gateway. Well, my guest today is in charge of international partnerships here at the European Commission. Jozef Sikela is a Czech politician, and he served as Minister of Industry and Trade from 2021 until 2024. At the end of that year, he was appointed to his current post in the second von der Leyen Commission. Welcome to the programme, Commissioner.
Hello. Great to be here.
On multilateralism, we had in the last few days President Trump saying, we want to get along with everybody. That's his version of multilateralism. He wants to invite Russia into the G20 for meetings. Was this a good decision?
I don't think so, but of course, this is the right of the host. When it comes to multilateralism, I strongly believe that this is the only way how to proceed. I do not believe in the zero-sum games. I do not believe in the politics of might, because they are beneficial only for the strong ones. And the way how we need to steer is basically to help the weaker ones to become stronger. And this is basically what the Global Gateway is about, and what is the approach of the European Union to the multilateralism.
We'll get back to Global Gateway, but before that, you were at the EU Arctic Forum in Brussels in the last few days, and you're updating the Arctic strategy. What is that update, and why has this region become so important?
Well, we have still the climate issue, and here we have a joint interest. On the other side, of course, some of the regions of Arctic, and we should not forget that we have five of the Arctic countries are European countries, and three of them are the members of the European Union.
By the way, you could have had a new member of the Arctic if the people of Iceland had voted yes to restart accession talks with the EU. Do you think that's a missed opportunity?
I think this is the decision of the people and we respect this decision. The Iceland is a very strong ally and will remain a very strong ally of the European Union. Is the NATO member, they are Schengen member, and this is basically our approach. Let the people decide about their own destiny, and this is same approach we want to have also in Greenland. Here Europe has also to protect its own interest by partnering with the Arctic states, and by protecting own interest and protecting also the infrastructure which is being to be built, because the hybrid war is also about attacking the critical infrastructure.
US President Donald Trump has continued to threaten Greenland even while the war in Iran was going on in the last few months. You want to double support to Greenland in the next multi-financial framework, so in the next EU budget, to 530 million euros. Do you think you're going to get that commitment?
I hope so. So this is not only about the budget for Greenland, but you are right that in the proposal for the next multi-annual financial framework, we are doubling the amount. But it is not only about this amount. There will be like extra projects which will come separately, and we will present them soon. We will remain to focus on education, because all the projects we want to bring to Greenland are about transforming their economy. This is needed, and this is not possible without investing directly in the people, because of course the people of Greenland should be basically the executors of this transformation. So we want to help Greenland to become stronger, to restructure their economy, to strengthen sustainable tourism, simply to open new revenue sources for the people of Greenland, and basically to help to improve the lives in investing in the in the transit routes, in the digitalization, in the connectivity, but of course to get basically access to the critical raw materials in this area.
Commissioner, let's talk about Europe and Africa and Global Gateway. The EU represents 5% of the world's population, but it's actually responsible for nearly half of the world's development aid. Some people watching this at home might be thinking, well, we have a lot of problems here in Europe, inflation, cost of living crisis and so on. Why are we doing so much of the heavy lifting? What would you say to those people?
I think after dismantling the US aid, it might even increase. But there is no other way around, because instability and the problems on the neighboring continent, they does not know borders. This is about tackling the root causes of the migration. So if we basically do not help to strengthen the economies of the countries in neighborhood, we are basically creating problems for ourselves. So I don't see it as an aid. This is a geopolitical strategy. This is also about the multilateralism, and this is about investing in the Europe's future. Because if we create jobs, if we basically create a sustainable development, and this is something where the Europe is the world champion by far, we will basically also strengthen our resilience. We can contribute to the fight against the climate change, and we can get basically also the access to the mineral resources we need for the climate and the digital transition.
Some have said that actually you're exploiting the mineral resources there in order to power the transition to renewable energies here in the EU. Is there, as some NGOs, for example, or academics have said, a kind of neo-extractivism and neo-colonialism going on?
We call it in a 360 degree approach. So basically, we usually talk to the government, but we usually also onboard the local NGOs, the civil society, in order to be sure that basically the plans, the commitments, that we also get a local commitment. You know, the example, the Lobito Corridor, this is by far not about 1,300 kilometers of the railway. This is about the whole ecosystem. This is about the sustainable agriculture. This is about the financing of the SMEs. This is about creating the opportunities on the whole route, creating the opportunities for the local people. And this is something you cannot do without basically talking to the local communities and having the NGOs. So they are helping us to navigate.
But the Lobito Corridor then, which for our viewers, by the way, brings together the Democratic Republic of Congo, Zambia and Angola. If we look at a hard fact, Commissioner, the Democratic Republic of Congo has these huge cobalt resources, but it's only capturing about 3% of the global supply chain for electric vehicles. So we could say maybe this is not benefiting the locals. These resources are being taken out of the DRC, and under nice words like connectivity, they're going to be taken to ports and exported.
Yeah, and this is the problem we have, and this is something we have to change, because we have to leave the value and create the value locally. And this is what our projects are about, because if you just build a railway or a road between the mine and between the port, and this is currently the case, you are not helping the locals. You are just basically continue to plunder the country. Africa is a very rich continent, is one of the richest continents when it comes to mineral resources. But the added value is not staying in Africa. And this is something we need to change, because if we do not change it, we might face migration-wise dystopic scenarios in the future.
Speaking of migration, the EU increasingly talks about clamping down on irregular migrants, but promoting regular skilled labor. Some people might say, though, that that is going to cream off the most talented people in the countries that you go to, like Senegal and Ethiopia, and basically deprive those countries of that skilled talent. What would you say to those?
We support the development of the skills. We heavily invest basically in the education, in the people-centered approach also in Africa, because this continent needs talented people. But this continent also needs to have then the opportunities for these talented people. So this is about not investing only in the hard assets, but in the whole ecosystem, investing also in the people. And this is basically the value proposition we offer.
But investing in people who are going to be tempted by higher salaries in Europe.
No, but we definitely want to avoid
brain drain.
Brain drain. Yeah. On the other side, one of the reasons why the people migrate is because they are desperate or they have the ambition. Africa is the fastest growing continent, population-wide, but also one of the fastest growing continents economically. There will be a lot of opportunities in Africa if we help to create them. On the other side, we have to be aware that the irregular migration has become one of the main revenue pools for the criminal activities. So by fighting the smuggler groups, by reducing the irregular migration, and we are extremely successful in this. So just in Senegal, in 25, we decreased the irregular departures by more than 60%. So we are down below 3,000. When it comes to departures to Canary Islands, we are down, we decrease it by 50%.
Despite all that, of course, there is still an ongoing crisis at Ceuta, but that's another discussion probably for another day because we've run out of time now. But I want to thank you very much for this discussion.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you. That was Commissioner Joseph Sikela in charge of international partnerships here at the European Commission. Glad you could join us here on Talking Europe.